Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Good day. Welcome. Bill Michaels Show back on the air, and we are glad you are with us today. A lot of good stuff coming up today. As a matter of fact, going to talk, or going to hear from, I should say, Mark Murphy, the Packers president. We're going to get back into, by the way, coming up here in a little bit, we're going to get back into the baseball chatter. I think it's really good. I think there's a lot of people that have wanted to have a say in this regarding the Scott Boras note that went out to the players saying don't give in to the owners. And what side of this you fall upon, which there's a sentimentality that a lot of people are really upset with the players because you're getting paid an exorbitant amount of money to play a game. And when you equate it to a guy going to work, especially now, some of the frontline workers that are working the cash registers and such, say at Woodman's or at Pick and Save or at some of these other retail locations, at Menards, over at Home Depot, not even getting into the frontline workers that are the medical at the medical facilities. It's easier to relate to a player as an employee and you being an employee. But it is apples to oranges. So I do want to get back into that discussion. In the meantime, coming up later on today, Tom Fornelli, CBS Sports College football analyst, going to be here. He's going to join us a little bit later in the hour. And in the top of the next hour, start thinking of this. It is a top five Friday. And what does that mean? Well, that means to you that I want you to think of the top five, but it's really top 10. Yesterday, Phil Mickelson had said that he wants to make the match an annual event between him and Tiger and then add different personalities to it each and every year. So this year was Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. Next year, he said, well, what if we did it like, Steph Curry and Michael Jordan? Okay, great. Wonderful. But who else would you like to see in the match? Your top five matchups. I'm going to get into that coming up in a little bit because I got some good stuff brewing. I got you when you hear mine, I want to know what yours are. Sam Schmidt's producing the show today. Radio Joe's and Zola off. Sam's going to have his. Evan Heffelfinger's going to have his. So we're ready for that. In the meantime, Packers president Mark Murphy. Mark Murphy joined the big show yesterday on 105.7 FM, The Fan, our flagship station out of Milwaukee. The first thing Mark Murphy was asked about is the thing that we all wanted to ask him about, and he answered it yesterday, talking about the drafting of the first round draft choice, Jordan Love.
Yeah, no, I'm very supportive of it. Brian and I were in communication, and it's the reality is it's not only the most important position in football. I would argue it's the most important position in all sports, and there's an old saying in the NFL that the best time to take a quarterback is when you don't need one. And we don't need one now. I mean, obviously Aaron's, still playing at a very high level. I guess I look at it. I give Brian credit. I think, that he had the courage of his convictions, that he obviously thinks a lot of Jordan and thinks he could be a great player for us. And, it's not, he's not going to help us right away.
Now, one of the things Murphy looks at, and this is stepping back, but is the comparison between the pick of Jordan Love and then the pick of Aaron Rodgers.
I think for the long term, it was it'll be a very good move, and you know, it gives me say what you want about Ted Thompson. The best thing he did was drafted Aaron Rodgers when he had Brett Favre, and you know, hopefully we'll have a similar conversation 10 years from now about this pick.
Okay, a little bit different circumstance, but he understands where the pick is right now. Now, Murphy says, look, the plan for the NFL in general is to play in front of fans.
Well, first of all, compared to our professional sports, I think we're able to learn a lot from them. We're not like the Bucs, right in the middle of the season. And we'll see. We're not going to make decisions. We're not going to set false deadlines. We're not going to make decisions until we have to. But right now the plan is to play 16 games and, in front of fans.
It's always been, I think, the NFL's proposal to play in front of fans until they're told not to. You know what I mean? They've made that kind of clear. It's not the belief that they're just completely Teflon, but they believe that, you know, fans are going to be there and they're going to be fine, and we'll just have to wait and see. So the other aspect of this is that the NFL, I don't think they're really, I mean, I'm sure there's a contingency plan in case fans are not allowed in, what they're going to do, but I don't know if they're counting on that right now. I think they're more so counting on fans being in the stands because of the amount of draw. Now, they get a lot of money via the television networks, though, so there's no doubt about that. But I just wonder if NFL has really a good, solid contingency plan. Because I think if there aren't fans and you can't let fans in, I don't think with the size of these teams, the size of the traveling parties, what you're going to do with your season schedule, where you're going to go, where you're going to travel, I don't know if you can play a season if you can't let fans in. Now, Murphy says he and LaFleur, going back to the Love pick, yep, you know what? They talked. They talked about it.
There was communication beforehand that it was a possibility. And Matt was very supportive of it. I mean, I don't think you talk to players and ask them, should we do this or should we do that? I do think shortly after the pick, I know, and it made it a little difficult because we were in, a virtual situation. We weren't on the war room at Lambeau Field, but I know Matt talked to Aaron shortly after the pick.
And then in addition to that, Mark Murphy thought that Rodgers, going back to Aaron Rodgers' press conference, okay, remember they had that press conference and Aaron Rodgers had to answer all those questions. And he said, look, I really believe that Aaron Rodgers was 100% honest in what he had said in that press conference.
Obviously, I think he was very honest that it was a surprise, mm-hmm. but I think he understands that, the organization, not only were, trying to win now, but also looking out for the long-term future of the organization.
So there you go. Mark Murphy talking to the media, talking yesterday to 105.7 FM, The Fan and The Big Show. And now the question is, one, do you believe that Aaron Rodgers was being honest? Do you believe that? Because Mark Murphy, I get it, man. Mark Murphy is in a bit of a predicament. Because on one hand, you got your guy. You got Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that's the cat that you're here with. He brought you to the dance. He took your last dance partner and made him better, and he's also won you a championship. And he's not thinking about going away anytime soon. In the meantime, though, you've got an organization of Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur who really like this young guy. Now, it may work out that Aaron Rodgers turns out to be great and the remainder of his career is amazing and Jordan Love is not the quarterback that they deemed, and that pretty much solves any problem down the road anyway. Then again, what happens if Jordan Love gets an opportunity? He's good. And Aaron Rodgers is just a little bit better. But for the money, you got to make some decisions, and that's when things become a sticky wicket, so to speak. 855-830-8648. Your reaction to what you just heard coming out of Mark Murphy. And you tell me, here's something to think about. If you're the NFL, and let's say what the predictions are, we're just going to go off of the hypothetical here. I'm not saying it will or won't. I'm not a doctor. But doctors have said, well, in the fall, look for another spike. Let's suppose we get the spike. Will there be football in the fall? And what if you're a season ticket holder and you're one of, say, the third that is told, thanks, but we got to figure out a rotation for games because we're only going to put our stadiums at a third. And we're going to tape off areas of benches that you can't sit. So every third seat will have the ability to sit in it, but nah, we're not gonna go to 70,000. We're only gonna go to, say, 25,000. Think about that. You're still gonna have the roar of the crowd, but you're actually gonna have a lot of empty stadiums when it comes to stadiums partially filled. You know what I mean? So give me your thoughts on all of this, what the NFL may be looking at down the road, and the possibility of fans in the stands, a third full or not at all. And what Mark Murphy had to say. Stay tuned. This portion of the program being brought to you by our good friends over there at Quick Trip, reminding you they've got some baked goods going on right now. And, they still have the Quickery bread, the buns, and the hot dog and hamburger buns. They still have those going on, which you can stop in and get those at any point in time. But today, the Glazer Donuts, $1.99 for a half dozen, all the way through June 4th. So stop in and get them right now over there from our friends at Quick Trip. Stay tuned. Going to take your phone calls coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
But if my friends ask where you are, I'm gonna say
she went down in an airplane, 5 minutes suntan, fell in a cement mixer full of quicksand.
Welcome back. Will there be football in front of fans? Mark Murphy seems to think so. What is the contingency plan? And your thoughts, if you are indeed a season ticket holder, what happens if the Packers call and say, hey, you know what, I know normally it's the 8 games, but we're going to rotate it. We're only going to have a third of the stadium full, so your seats are going to be eliminated for a few games. You good with that? I mean, think about it, because, I mean, you're going to get to see games, but you, again, I'm only saying this if indeed they say, well, we have to socially distance, so therefore if we want fans in the stands, instead of having 78,000, 79,000, we're only going to have 25,000, and we're going to spread everybody out. So there you go. 855-830-8648. Mark Murphy talking about the season and what the expectations are, and he thinks there's going to be fans in the stands.
Well, first of all, compared to our professional sports, I think we're able to learn a lot from them. We're not like the Bucs, right in the middle of the season. And we'll see. We're not going to make decisions. We're not going to set false deadlines. We're not going to make decisions until we have to. But right now the plan is to play 16 games and in front of fans.
So there you go. 855-830-8648. Mike B tweets us, and by the way, you can hit me up on Twitter @Bill_Michaels. He hits us up on Twitter and says, if they end up playing any games without fans, I hope they open up the possibility of flexing games to Monday Night Football. The games are no longer premier, and a flexing would fix that. You could not do it with fans in attendance, though. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648, if you want to give us a shout. This is from Joseph. Joseph writes, no fans in the stands. I'm good with that. I just want to see good football. Maybe it would give us a more exciting audio cast. Then you'd be able to hear the calls and the players on the field. I think that would be a whole different window into the NFL. I wonder how much they would do. That's a great point, but I wonder how much they would do. You know? because, I mean, they're already so afraid of giving away secrets. I mean, God knows, as I've said it before, it's like Red China, man. They don't want to give away anything. So I agree with you. I think it'd be great. You can hear the calls at the line of scrimmage easier. You can hear the defensive calls maybe easier. All that. I'd be all for that. I still want to see fans in the stands. I think football would be almost eerie without them. And this whole thing of piping in fan noise and such and apps that can allow you to boo or to cheer or to scream or to yell and all that kind of stuff, that's kind of cool. But then who's monitoring that? Is that the NFL or is that, let's say, the Minnesota Vikings PA system, right? Because we all know they pumped it in. We all know that Atlanta has pumped it in. They've all been slapped on the wrist for it. 855-830-8648. Hey, I want to remind you, our friends over there at Van Horn Automotive, customer assistance day is going on right now. They're offering relief during these difficult times. 0% APR for up to 12 months on repairs, up to $2,000. 0% APR, 84 months on select makes and models, no payment for 6 months. And used vehicles, they're priced at their lowest right now. Go in and get you one. If you're looking for a new vehicle and used vehicle, no payments for 90 days on used vehicles, by the way. And the collision center, they're going to waive. If you are in an accident, they're going to waive your deductible up to $500. Hope you're not, but if you are, there's some relief there as well. Think about that. If you got to take your car in for service, and they're doing everything through the CDC guidelines, they're doing everything, whether it's online, virtually, they can deliver the car directly to you, or if you're comfortable going in, go in. So many different ways to participate in the experience of getting yourself a new car or getting one delivered to you, which is a great experience within itself. You don't have to even leave the house. But they've got a lot going on. They're family-born. They're employee-owned. They even offer the service of completely disinfecting your car. Think about that, too. They fog it. They wipe it down. They steam it and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's great. I don't know what everything it is they do, but you walk away knowing that there's not germs in that vehicle. It's pretty awesome. So give our friends over there at Van Horn Automotive a jingle. Go to VanHornAuto.com. That's VanHornAuto.com. Family-born and employee-owned. Again, VanHornAuto.com. Find them on the web and dealerships all over the state of Wisconsin and in Iowa as well. So what are your thoughts if indeed the Packers would call you as a season ticket holder and say, you know what, you're only going to go to a few games this year? You go with that? You go with that? Johan says in the Wendy's email inbox, great discussion. I was talking to a buddy of mine last night about this. I think the NFL is crazy to think that everything's going to go away and we're going to be back to life as normal in August. What about July when training camp opens up? How are they going to keep everybody safe through July, through August, into September, and then have fans come back into the stands to see regular season games? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what the plan is. They have to have an end just to have fans back. If that's where your plan is, just to have that take place is a monumental undertaking. Think about it. To clean, sterilize stadiums, because I would assume at that point in time you're still going to have to do that, right? Are you going to be passing out hand sanitizer to everybody that walks in the gate? Sanitized wet wipes or something, or Clorox wipes, or I mean, I would assume if I'm Clorox or somebody of that ilk, Lysol, I'm going to be all over a sponsorship deal for fans in the stands somewhere, right? Whether it's at Miller Park or at Lambeau Field or at the Fiserv Forum or Camp Randall or the Kohl Center, whatever. You know, somewhere. So now's the time to jump all over that. But I just want to see over the next month, I think, where sports are important. I want to see sports come back. I love watching what NASCAR has going on right now. I love seeing that. I love seeing the return of golf. And we're getting snippets of things that are starting to come back. I love that, okay? But I want to see over the next month where this goes. Because the myth of the coronavirus was just miraculously going to go away in warmer weather climates, well, that's not true because L.A. has had spikes. L.A.'s been as warm as any place. Arizona has had their spike as well, right? Arizona, I mean, for a short period of time, they were over 100. So it didn't all of a sudden miraculously disappear. So I want to see where this is. And then obviously where the progress is when it comes to a vaccine. And if indeed by the time we turn the corner from July into August, maybe the overwhelming concern for the coronavirus diminishes somewhat to where we can say, okay, we can at least as Americans and as viewers feel safe venturing back out to do this. There's going to be changes. There's no doubt about it. The way of life as we know it is going to change. We're not going to be passing beers up and down the aisle and hot dogs up and down the aisle and food in general up and down the aisle. But I want to see if we have enough, enough of a reduced level of concern to be able to say, okay, we're going back. We're going to go back and then safely do it. Because if you don't have that, then I think you might probably going to thin the herd anyway when it comes to fans in the stands, because there are going to be people that just don't want to do it, that aren't comfortable doing it. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Want to get your thoughts. Stay tuned for that. Tom Fornelli, we're going to talk with him about the college side of things when we come back and where colleges stand right now in all of this. And then James Jones says Aaron Rodgers is going to be an MVP. Do you believe him? Does Aaron Rodgers have an MVP season in him? We'll talk about that. Don't forget, start getting your top five together for the Top 5 Friday. Top 5 Friday today, the top five matchups for the matchup. You got Tiger and Phil. But if you're going to put two more players on the course with Tiger and Phil, who would you like to see matched up? Your top five matchups. I've got mine. We're going to get yours coming up after the top of the hour. Stay tuned. A lot more of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
Listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We're back on this beautiful Friday. How are we looking? Hopefully you're enjoying your day. Hey, if you're going to head up north, that's where really social distancing began, right? Come on, that's the original social distancing. The Four Seasons Island Resort in Pembine, Wisconsin, or Pine Mountain Ski and Golf Resort in Iron Mountain, Michigan, home of the Timberstone Championship Golf Course. Both are beautiful. Both have stay-and-play packages right now. And I've been to the Four Seasons, which is just an awesome, awesome historical place. They've got history tours. They've got a nine-hole executive course there. And tremendous indoor activities, outdoor activities, fishing, boating, pontooning, you name it, kayaking. Then there's Pine Mountain Ski and Golf Resort featuring Timberstone Championship Golf Course, and that is really cool, cutting the side of Pine Mountain. So go to TimberstoneGolfCourse.com. That's TimberstoneGolfCourse.com, and see for yourself what they've got going on and get yourself a stay-and-play package, or TheFourSeasonsWI.com. That's TheFourSeasonsWI.com, and go to the Four Seasons Island Resort as well. So there you go. Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, Tom Fornelli of CBS Sports, the college football analyst there. You can find him at Tom Fornelli over there on Twitter. Tom, how you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing wonderful. So let me ask you this first and foremost, because I know that there have been some schools that said they're coming back. Other schools have said they're not coming back until full campuses are open. What are your thoughts when it comes to whether or not we will or will not have a what we call normal college football season?
Well, I think the chances of a normal season at this point are gone, simply because it's already been an abnormal year with spring practices and everything already being canceled. And now we're looking at a situation where the NCAA is putting together a plan, or at least the reports that the NCAA is putting together a plan, where we're going to see 6 week sort of training camps for everybody before the season starts to make sure that players can be ready and teams can be ready. But I think it'll be normal in that there will be college football this fall. It's just we don't know yet, because things are changing at seemingly every other day. There's new news coming out and things are changing because of it. But I think we're going to have games this fall. Whether it's going to be the schedule that is currently, if you go online and look at your team's 2020 schedule, whether that's going to be the actual schedule they play and if the dates are all going to be the same, I think that is all still a little bit up in the air. But for right now, I think that based on the signs and reading the tea leaves, we're heading towards the college football season taking place this fall. Maybe not exactly on time and maybe not the way it's designed, but it'll be played somehow, some way.
Some of these colleges, now I know many of the Big Ten schools said, look, we want to come back. They want to get it going. And there's a lot of money to be made there, obviously. And that's pretty much their athletic budgets when it comes to football. So these bigger schools want to come back. Some have said they'll wait and see, you know. So how weird would it be to have a Big Ten season without a couple of the major players like a Michigan not coming back?
It would be very, very strange. It'd be one of those kind of how seriously do you take the season? Was it just it's clearly it would have happened. But at that point, like you said, there's a lot of money involved in this. And we've seen through just with what happened with the spring sports being canceled and what we've seen the last few months, a lot of schools have had to cut sports simply because football is the revenue generator for all of the other sports. It's like, yes, men's basketball brings in money and women's basketball brings in money because of their tournaments and the television revenue, but they pale in comparison to what football brings in on an annual basis. Even if you're not a powerhouse school or in a Power Five conference, you're still getting a decent amount of money from television alone, which helps fund your other sports, which don't really generate nearly as much revenue, if at all. In fact, most of them on their own operate at a loss, which is why football is so essential and so pivotal for athletic departments. And why I think at the end of the day, while schools are going to take the most cautious approach that they can, I do think that once push comes to shove, like if 10 or 11 Big Ten schools are saying we're ready to go this fall and there's two or three holding out, I think those two or three that are holding out are going to finally at some point relent and say, okay, we have to do this simply because it'll be too costly for us not to. So I can't sit here and say with any guarantee of what's going to happen with any certain school or any certain conference, but I do think that by the time September rolls around, everybody in the FBS level, at least everybody certainly at the Power Five level, is going to be ready to go.
That was going to be my next question. At the Power Five level, I think everybody's going to be ready. How much is this going to affect, do you feel, some of the lesser schools, some of the smaller conferences, and their ability to, one, play, two, possibly or not possibly. If you can't put fans in the stands, some of these small schools rely upon the gate. If they don't have that, then they're not making a lot of money because there isn't a lot of television revenue if you're not a Power Five conference. So how much do we see some of those conferences or those schools go by the wayside for a season?
Yeah, that's going to be the interesting thing to follow along with how this works because, yeah, if you're in a Power Five conference, if you're in the Big Ten, and you're getting $60 million a year or whatever the number will be just from television alone, yeah, you want fans showing up for the atmosphere and you want them buying, you know, concessions and all that kind of stuff because it does increase your overall revenue, but you'll get by even if they don't show up with just the TV money. That's not the same at like a Wyoming where maybe in the Mountain West where you get $1.5 million a year from TV alone, which is good and it helps fund other things, but still a larger share of your revenue is coming from fans being at games and being able to go to games. So I can't really predict how that's going to affect them. I think that will be another kind of driving force and impetus to convince them to play. But this is one of those things where we're concerned now with the season happening in 2020, but I don't think we're really going to see the full impact on what any of this had for another, you know, until another year or two from now when we're seeing athletic departments trying to make up the money that they lost out on if they miss games, if they miss any portion of the season, and what they have to do going forward to kind of balance those books.
Talking to Tom Fornelli of CBS Sports, college football analyst, what is the likelihood the season gets pushed back?
I would say right now, based on things are going, I wouldn't say it's more than 20%. I do think that they will, if they have to push it back, I do think they're going to do everything in their power. So because as we've gone over the importance of the money of the sport, like if they can't play this fall, they're not going to cancel the season like we saw them do in college basketball where they canceled the postseason, and we saw them do it with baseball where they just canceled the entire season altogether. They simply can't afford to. So they'll just keep pushing it back as much as they have to, if they have to. But at the same time, there's also a scenario where the season starts on time and they're playing games in September and October and November. And then maybe towards the end of November and into December, we see another uptick in, you know, the COVID-19 cases that cause people to states in the country to shut things down again. And at that point, maybe they cancel the season. So I think that's more likely than the season getting pushed back at this point, but everything's still on the table as far as I'm concerned.
And then the biggest argument is some of these college campuses to say, look, if we're not going to open the campus to mass quantities of students, what do we do with fans? What do we do with players? How do we bring them? Because, I mean, we all know, anybody that's ever been on a college campus knows that to run a college football team versus a pro, pros have a lot of coaches and a lot of personnel around, but when it comes to a college football team that can carry upwards of 100-plus players, and then to have the students, the student assistants that are all there, the coaches, the assistant coaches, the weight training staff, all that, to put all that together and to try to bubbleize all of that, how difficult is that going to be?
Extremely. And the truth of the matter is nobody knows how. And we could all try to come up with plans for how to do it, but nobody knows how to do it because simply nobody's ever had to do it, and nobody's ever really been in a position where they're like, okay, we need to plan for this, because this isn't something that you plan for. So it's incredibly difficult. And I do think that, you know, there are a lot of schools saying clearly, you know, if our students aren't back on campus, we're not going to have sports. And I think that logically is a sensible thing and the most logical thing you could say. Whether that's actually going to be the case, I don't know, because like if students aren't back on campus, it wouldn't be the first time that colleges treated their student athletes different than the regular student body by having the student athletes on and playing football and maybe them being the only one there. And they'll probably bring up the argument that, hey, it's probably safer not to have all the students back on campus for the players if they're the only ones here. So I have a feeling we're going to see a whole lot of logical cartwheels and backflips over the next couple months, trying to just whatever has to be done to make sure that the games are played is probably what's going to be done.
The question you get a lot of the time is there's a lot of work and effort going into college football and college basketball. Some of the other sports have gone by the wayside and have had their seasons canceled. This also then becomes a fairness issue, a Title IX issue. I mean, is this something that college down the road is going to begin to face when it comes to, well, my season was lost, but the football players still got their season because they're the ones that pay the bills and on and on and on. Are we going to see then eventually lawsuits over this?
We might. I can't speak to that. I'm not smart enough to know the answer to that, to be quite honest. But I do think, yeah, it's something that's in play. That it's one of those things I mentioned earlier, where it's seeing the impact on this a couple years from now compared to just this fall. That's something that could bubble up, and it's something that could lead to new legislation on it, or just, you know, some sort of compensation, whatever that would be, for those sports that did get canceled.
Before I let you go, I want to ask you, so the Wisconsin Badgers, obviously, we're looking for this team to win the West and then probably go up against Ohio State yet again, and Ohio State has had their numbers certainly in the Big Ten championship game. But just in the Big Ten West and looking at what the Badgers have going on and a little bit of a quarterback battle, but they can't see it because no spring ball, obviously. So where do the Badgers stand in all of this right now, in your opinion?
I mean, I still think they're the favorite in the West. I do think that if you look at their schedule, they've got, as far as non-conference schedules are concerned, it's not the easiest schedule in the world, because, yeah, there's the Notre Dame game at Lambeau Field, but Appalachian State is a very good Sun Belt team, and I know it's from the Sun Belt, but it's better than your typical Sun Belt team. It's a solid program, and Southern Illinois is your typical FCS game, which shouldn't be a problem, but that's a difficult non-conference schedule. And then when you get into the Big Ten, starting the year, if I'm a coach at any program, I would hate starting my season with a conference game. And that's the position that Wisconsin finds this year, where they're starting with Indiana. And it's an even more interesting situation simply because of the truncated offseason that these teams are going to be having to get ready for the year. So to be in a position where you're probably not going to be at the same level of readiness that you would be in a typical season, and then opening with a conference game that's going to count right away in the standings for you, that's going to be difficult. And then having to go on the road to Michigan, that's a difficult game. But I think in the division, I feel like Minnesota will be the biggest threat to Wisconsin. I'm not at a stage where I'm able to say that. Just based on how the way the game went between Wisconsin and Minnesota last year, I'm not ready to say that Minnesota is going to be able to beat Wisconsin and take the division from them. But I think we're going to see Iowa take a step back simply because they're replacing a lot of key starters, including a multi-year starter at quarterback. I don't think Purdue's at a situation where it's really ready to step forward. Northwestern's going to be better, but I don't think it's going to be a 10-win kind of team in that division this year. So I think that Wisconsin should still be your favorite and is still the most likely team to win the West. But I do think this is a team that could finish, you know, conference play with two or three losses and still win the division.
Tom, great stuff. I appreciate it. Thanks for joining us for a couple of minutes, okay?
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on. Have a good weekend.
You too. Absolutely. There you go. Tom Fornelli, CBS college football analyst, and joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. hiring drivers right now. Call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com. They treat you right. If you get your job done, they'd be treating you all kinds of right. And if you're looking for a job, it's a great place to go. 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com. Hey, grilling season we know is here, right? Schulze Family Farms, that beef, they've got the mouth-watering meats for your grill and your family. The Schulze family has been providing delicious pasture-raised beef in Humbert, Wisconsin for three generations. They have a wide variety of steaks and roasts and ground beef and tasty beef snacks, which, by the way, is just a click away at schulzefamilybeef.com. You can sign up for a recurring delivery subscription based upon your preferences, and your shipment is packed in dry ice and it comes right to your doorstep in just a few days. Or you can order a customized curated box, and that's a great way to try their awesome beef before making a commitment to a subscription. So what could be better, right? You're asking me, I'm telling you, this is great. The next time you think of great beef, think of Schulze Family Beef, high quality pasture raised beef from their Wisconsin family farm to your family table. So place your order, SchulzeFamilyBeef.com. And due to high demand, I want to remind you, some items may be on a short back order. So make sure you check the website for availability. That's SchulzeFamilyBeef.com, S-C-H-O-L-Z-E, SchulzeFamilyBeef.com. That is SchulzeFamilyBeef.com. When we come back, do you believe he's got another MVP season in him? Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show is next.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. We are glad you are on board. Thanks, as always, for joining us. We certainly appreciate it. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. So Aaron Jones, for those that didn't know, was on the Pat McAfee show. And James Jones. James Jones said this about Aaron Rodgers.
The Green Bay Packers pick up Jordan Love, the quarterback allegedly of the future, at least 3 to 4 years down the road. How do you feel about that whole thing? And how do you feel about how Aaron Rodgers has handled it, in which he said, like, listen, this isn't Jordan Love's fault. I'm going to be nice to him. Obviously, the GM is looking ahead and everything like that. How do you think this is going to potentially motivate Aaron, or what do you think this is going to do to the locker room?
Man, I wouldn't be surprised if Aaron Rodgers wins MVP this year, man. Oh. He's a guy who's always going to accept the challenge, man. He's going to always rise to the occasion, man. And now you have a guy in the first round who eventually is going to have to play. We don't know if it's going to be 4 years. We don't know if it's going to be 2 years. We don't know if it's going to be 10. We don't know. But we know when you take a guy in the first round, they are going to want to see him play before his contract is up. And Aaron Rodgers knows that. He was one of those guys that was drafted in the first round and had those opportunities. So he knows for that. To push that back, you have to play at a high level. And I believe Aaron Rodgers is going to come out. He will win MVP this year. He's going to have a chip on his shoulder, and he already has. He's a perfectionist. I've been around the guy for a very long time, man. He is a competitor. He's going to want to show the world that this is my team. This is my job for a very long time, man. But speaking of the draft, I was surprised, just like everybody else was surprised. You take Jordan Love. You're in the NFC Championship game. We're all watching the NFC Championship game. Like, man, if they could get another guy on the other side of Devontae Adams, if they could maybe add another pass rusher or something on defense, you know, dang, they could be right there. And then you're waiting in the draft. Oh, yeah, here go the receiver. Here comes – and then you see quarterback, and you're like, my goodness, you were in the NFC Championship. Aaron Rodgers' first year in your system. He's going into his second year. So I was surprised, but then I sat back and thought about it. Aaron Rodgers, 36 years old. You know, whenever Aaron Rodgers did get hurt or did go down, we come up, the backup quarterback didn't do that well, and the season is gone. You know what I mean? Because we lost our best player on our team. So you want to prepare for situations like that. I don't think Jordan Love's going to get in the game for about 3 or 4 years, because I think Aaron has a lot of football left in him. But I understand why they did it.
So there you go. That was yesterday, James Jones on the Pat McAfee show. Okay, he gets why they did it. He understands it. But he believes that Aaron Rodgers could come back and have an MVP type of season. The question is this. Do you believe Aaron Rodgers has an MVP season in him? Do you believe that? Now, I just looking at this real quick in a minute and a half, I believe Aaron Rodgers obviously has the intelligence to be the best quarterback in the National Football League. I don't deny that. I think he still has his legs, which gives him scramble ability. I think that the new system is, while maybe not the most comfortable of fits, certainly is a workable system that could allow him to excel. I don't know, okay, this is just off the top of my head, and just from what I've witnessed in person, the eyeball test, I don't know if he has the same physical ability, arm-wise, that he had 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 7 years ago. Okay? Ever since, and I've said this, ever since that Anthony Barr break in Minneapolis on the collarbone, there are times when Aaron Rodgers' accuracy has been inexplicably off for whatever reason. So I don't know. I mean, it could just be where it's been a mix-up in communication for where he was supposed to throw the ball. Okay, maybe that's true. Maybe that goes back to the trust issue with the wide receivers that he had. I don't know. I don't know if it's something where it just shoulder just doesn't feel right and he just wings it and the accuracy's just off. Arm angle, somebody's got to paw up and diverts the football, or diverts the throwing of the football, whatever. Okay, whatever changes that surgeon-esque type of throwing accuracy that we were so accustomed to. But I don't know if because of that issue that I have seen over the last two seasons, where for the majority of the time, 90% of the time, it's 85% of the time, it's on the money. But we have all seen Aaron Rodgers be almost perfect. So for anything less for Aaron Rodgers, where he's not perfect, is still better than 90% of the National Football League. But for Aaron Rodgers and the standards and the bar and the level at which he set it, it's less than what we've become accustomed to. And I don't know if then that would allow him to win another MVP, if that makes sense. Going to go and take a quick break. When we come back, we got the top five of the matchup. That's coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Station strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.